Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guests on today's program are Christopher Frank and Paul Mignoni. Chris is Vice President of Business-to-Business and Communications Research at American Express, where he is responsible for advertising, brand, and business-to-business research. Prior to joining Amex, Chris spent 10 years at Microsoft as Senior Director of Corporate Research. Paul is Vice President of Business Development and Alliances at OpenNet Telecom, a global telecommunications software and consulting firm, where he is responsible for executive leadership of OpenNet's global partner initiatives. Prior to that, he was a senior leader at IBM for 21 years, driving growth programs, including the launch of four new global consulting businesses. They're co-authors of a new book, Drinking from the Fire Hose, Making Smarter Decisions Without Drowning in Information. Gentlemen, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Chris, to begin with, why has information overload become such a huge problem?
The irony is, with the advent of digital, everything is measured, tracked today, and we have more information at our fingertips than we've ever had. Yet we feel less informed. And as everything becomes social, mobile, you are going to have that counting increase. Everything that gets measured gets done. Yet what we find out today is we don't have the right information. And that's where people struggle with trying to bridge the gap between the information they have and effective use of it.
And our whole approach is to reduce the pressure. The Economist said earlier this year that everywhere you look, the quantity of information in the world is growing. Last year, as a society, we created 1,200 exabytes of data. That's more than 22 million times the amount of information contained in all books ever written. That's 8 times the amount created in 2005. So the velocity of how much information is coming at us is increasing. The opportunity is to harness that, to not be afraid of it, to manage it, and then turn it to your benefit so that it helps you and it helps your company.
And I guess what you're saying is, of course, we can't live without this data, and the meaningful stuff is in there somewhere.
Right. And it's all about how to pull that out and how to change the dialogue with your business partners, with your colleagues, whether you're on the client side in terms of working with marketing, management, senior leadership, or you're an agency and trying to work with your clients. How do you shift that dialogue? One thing we found out was the questions really are the key to unlocking it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What makes questions so powerful?
As you grow up through your education, you're always taught that you have to study, get the right answer. Even today, as you prepare to do a presentation, you prepare to have the answer. And the minute someone asks you a question, you're like a deer in headlights. Questions are very powerful because they unlock new information and they will enable you to say, tell me what isn't in there or tell me what is not on paper. And one thing we have found is the smartest person in the room asks the question. Time and again, when I worked at Microsoft and I present to Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, I would prepare for weeks, do dry runs, and then go into the meeting and they would ask one question. They say, you know what I wish I knew? That I wish I knew was just a powerful opener and it shifted our whole view of the analysis and data we had in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Paul, I have a question for you. How can managers use questions to inform their strategic decisions and day-to-day operations?
The challenge is there's this flood of information and managers have to make sense of it. The way to make that sense is to ask the questions to clarify. We're often caught up in the what. What are the details? What are the specifics? And that drives the focus on numbers and analytics. Analytics are great, but analytics just for the sake of getting into the numbers doesn't answer the question about how you're aligned with the business, how you're driving the business goals. So put a structure to that. Ask the right questions to say, okay, I know the what, but so what about that? Now what do I do about that? How do I drive forward? How do I make a choice? How do I not get paralyzed by this overwhelming amount of information that's coming in and make some decisions or at least have some good parameters for what's in bounds and what's out of bounds as I move forward?
Now in the book, you have this concept of 7 fire hose questions. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. The first question is, What is the essential question, or I wish I knew? And the whole point of that is to reveal the key information. The second question is, what is your customer's North Star? You want to focus on what the main goal is. You want to illuminate that point. And often the customers don't even know. It's like an Alice in Wonderland moment. Which way do you want to go? I don't know. Well, then pick any direction. So if the customers don't know, you have to drive that conversation for them. You also have to be the steward of that if you're trying to serve that constituency. The third question is, should you believe the squiggly line? We're constantly focused on the short-term thinking, whether it's Wall Street or baseball statistics or anything in between. I'm up 2 points. I'm down 2 points. Well, what's the relevancy of that if your competitor is up 4 points or 10 points? What's the context of that? Look at your long-term objectives. The next question, what surprised you? The goal of that is to permit real dialogue. Quite often, people don't feel they have permission to say, you know, what I really noticed is this, and I think this is the critical element. What surprised you opens that up. What does the lighthouse reveal is about objectivity, focusing on the obstacles. Imagine a lighthouse shining a light on where the obstacles are and giving you an example of what you want to be. Swing voter focuses on customer conversation. How do you move the middle ground of customers to be your customers? And then finally, what, so what, and now what? How do you expose those insights and articulate them as clearly as possible?
Do you have any examples of companies that have embraced all or some of these fire hose questions?
We love a story about iRobot. iRobot was founded around 1990. A bunch of MIT guys started off making military and industrial robots. A couple of their engineers went in and said, I want to create some consumer products. So they said, here's some seed money, go do it. What surprised them was manufacturing for the consumer side is very different than the economics of manufacturing for the corporate side. And they had to rethink how they sized and built a product. They did focus groups with their customers. They asked their customers, if I were to build you a robot that was a vacuum cleaner,
The Roomba,
what would it look like? And everybody drew Rosie the robot from the Jetsons. They said, well, how about this, which looks like a meat scale? And they said, okay, I guess we can give that a try. After a little while, they went back to the customers and said, tell us a little bit about it. 67% of the customers named their robots. A high proportion of their customers were elderly, and a high proportion were disabled. They thought they were building a consumer product for tech geeks like them that wanted to be ahead of the curve and do cool stuff. And what they were doing is enabling a market of people that needed help at home. That drove them to a whole set of new products. That surprised them. Now, 50% of their company revenue comes from the consumer side.
Chris, do you have anything you want to add?
We spoke directly to the chief marketing officer, went through all these details. And funny enough, we were presenting the other day, and someone in the room was the actual researcher that led the focus groups.
Right.
He says, you got it perfect in terms of all the facts. Let me tell you what you don't know. All the engineers that came and sat behind the mirror were very open to tell me the unexpected. What's the customer's North Star? What does the lighthouse reveal? They did not come with any bias. So when you think about this company, MIT Robotics Military Complex, and now you have these engineers sitting in a focus group and they're describing Rosie, I give this company tremendous credit. And in the book, Nancy, who is the CMO, goes through each question and details what each question meant for developing the Roomba. It's a fascinating case study.
It seems to me that one of the things that enabled that to happen at iRobot was corporate culture.
Completely. They were open to where the market would drive them. They were open to listening to their customers. They weren't stuck with their blinders on about, this is the business I'm in and I can't expand.
And if the culture doesn't support it, what these questions do is give people permission to start that dialogue and have people pause and say, I never thought about it that way. So if you have a culture that already asks these types of questions and is open to what will surprise them, terrific. If you don't, these are 7 tips, tricks, and techniques to enable that. The information is sitting there. How do you uncover it?
So it's really about culture, perspective, and an approach to business. You know, we get the question, who's this book for? If you're coming out of school, this is the book that I would have wanted to read coming out of school. If you're a CEO, I was talking to a business leader the other day. He said every CEO should read this and inform their thinking.
What would you say is the primary takeaway you'd like Edgewise listeners to glean from this book?
I think it's summed up in the opening quote. He uses statistics as a drunken man uses lampposts for support rather than illumination. This is not about becoming a numbers whiz, a data geek. This is all about using information and data for illumination. Too many times, people crunch the data, do the Excel, make the case in terms of financial numbers, and watch the squiggly line. And what we're trying to say is, don't worry about the numbers, figure out where you want to go, and then the numbers will help to illuminate that.
So we're not saying that the analytics will go away. To the contrary, the analytics need to be there, but you need to know where to focus.
Okay, now what about human factors? It isn't just numbers. You're making business decisions. You're making decisions that can seriously impact people's lives.
True leaders and people that are in that dialogue should think of themselves as the curator of the conversation, not the curator of the numbers and of the spreadsheet. And if they take that view, it will completely shift how they communicate, how they pull together information, and then how they deliver the information and engage with their colleagues and clients, both internally and externally.
We've been talking to Christopher Frank and Paul Mignoni, co-authors of a new book, Drinking from the Fire Hose, Making Smarter Decisions Without Drowning in Information. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today on Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Join the American Management Association group on LinkedIn to share insights with hundreds of your management peers and to discuss practices in the areas of organizational management and leadership. To find us, simply search for the group American Management Association from your LinkedIn account. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.